give the Lord a shout of praise. Does God deserve our shout? Does that give him a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. You want to wave your right hand to the Lord. There is none like unto him. He is in a class of his own. No one can be put in his class. His beauty, his majesty, his power, his victory, his excellence. Who is like this one? When he speaks, all creation bows. Until now, the angels who are millions of years old can still not understand him. They have studied him and they keep studying. And forever they will study him. Because he is a multifaceted one. There is none that can be compared unto him. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. All things are made by him. And they were made for him, for his pleasure. And for his glory. And he's the one before whom we are gathered. What shall we render unto the Lord? What shall we render unto the Lord? What shall we render unto the Lord? For all his immense benefits. Oh, we bless his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. And adore. Oh, so we lift up holy hands with one accord. Blessed be the day. Blessed be the day. Oh, blessed be the day. We lift up holy hands. Up to him now, lift it up to the Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.
Come on, on, someone give the Lord a real shout of praise and celebrate him and shout glory. Others shout glory. Others shout glory. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nobody who deserves our worship than God. There's no place that we can offer up worship than the house of God. There's no better place to open up our hearts and pour out our hearts unto him. And do you know, have good news for somebody over here. God is here tonight. I said God is here tonight. Come on, I said God is here tonight. And when he comes to a place, he comes to show his glory. You will see the glory of the Lord. Your amen needs code in. I say you see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Why, are you tired? I say you see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Celebrate the Lord in this place. Give him a clap offering. Lift up your right hand. Say, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Open my eyes tonight.
Open my eyes tonight.
Let me see you.
Let me see
say,
you.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Give me
a
revelation,
revelation
of God the Father,
of God the Father
and, God the Son,
and God the Son
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I am at Shiloh. Manifest yourself to me by the word of the Lord
in the name of Jesus.
Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. That Lord, open my eyes. Let me see your manifestation. Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. Mashapalabalaba. Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. Masubradigadabashata. Lebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebelebel
my eyes, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. So lift up your right hand one more time. Say, precious Holy Ghost.
Precious Holy Ghost.
I declare.
My heart is open.
My mind is ready.
My mind is ready to receive
with humility.
Your word.
That will change my life.
Say, I declare.
Tonight. My life will never be the same.
Say, Daddy.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Open my eyes.
Bring me to that level.
Of maturity.
That will cause me to live and to walk in the life of an overcomer.
By reason of my encounter tonight,
my life will never be the same again.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now look at somebody beside you and tell the person, look at me now. This is the last time you see me in this dimension. Next time you see me, I'll be operating from a higher level. I said, look at somebody. Some of you, as though your eyes, as I look at somebody, you are looking into space like astronauts. Amen. We are not in space, we are in church. Hallelujah. As I said, look at somebody beside you. Look at somebody. Look. Let somebody see your lovely face. Amen. Or there's a pimple on top of your nose. Hey, say, look at me now. This is the last time you see me at this level. The next time you see me, angels will be my bodyguards. Say, look at me now. This is the last time you see me at this financial level. The next time you see me, my bank account will be something you'll be jealous of. Now, last time, look at the person and say, look at me now. Say, this is the last time you look at me without appointment. Next time, I'll direct you to my personal secretary. You see your life. Give the Lord a shout of praise and a clap of friend right now. Hallelujah. God bless you. Can you take your seat? Precious Holy Spirit, we are here to receive from you. We are here to encounter you, and surely as we encounter you, our lives will never ever be the same again. Help us to be focused and alert as we go through the service in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Somebody shout a big amen. As I shout a big amen. May supernatural lubrication touch the camera and its stand in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give a clap offering to Jesus.
Well, you are welcome to day number 5 of Faith Convention 2024. Hallelujah. And in Faith Convention 2024, one of the things, or in fact the main thing that the Holy Ghost wants to instill into our spirit is what we call the overcoming faith. The overcoming faith. 1 John chapter number 5, the verse number 4. The Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It is from that Greek word nikao. Nikao means to conquer. Whatever is born of God has the capacity to conquer, has the capacity to be victorious, has the capacity to be the head and not the tail. So it's that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And he said that this is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. This is what has the capacity to overcome the world, even our faith. So from this scripture, you realize that God is talking about certain beings and certain things that has the propensity, the capacity, the capability, the ability to bring the world under subjection and to subdue the world. And he's saying that that thing is born of God. So he said that anything and anyone that proceeds out of God, anyone that comes from the depth of God, anyone that is crafted out of God has a capacity to overcome. And he said that in that person he has placed something called faith, and that faith is what that individual or that thing uses to overcome this world. Glory to Jesus Christ. Lift up your right hand and say, I'm a world overcomer. Why do I say you are a world overcomer? It is because if you are a child of God, you are born of God. Now, if you are not born again, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life or the Savior of your soul, you are not part of this number that we are talking about. But before the end of the day, if you have not accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, I pray that you find conviction in your heart and you take that step of faith, which will bring you into the overcoming dimension. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And then he goes to tell us, the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. It's our faith. So that is where we crafted the overcoming faith, or the faith that overcomes. That's where we crafted it from. But listen to this. He says that there are people who overcome the world, and these are those that are born of God. Verse number 5 says that, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, according to the scriptures, there is something that is inside you that has the capacity to subdue the world. When you have that faith to accept that Jesus is the Son of God, who came to die for our sins and to save humanity from death and to save humanity from sin and its consequences, that person receives something in him or her that gives the person an ability and a capacity to subdue the world. And I thank God, yesterday was such an exciting time as the Holy Ghost gave us bullets of revelation after revelation, revelation after revelation, to position us, because in these end times it is the overcomers who are going to take charge. It is the overcomers who are going to be in control of this world. It is the overcomers who are going to determine the shots, who are going to call the shots, who are going to determine what moves and what goes. And I prophesy that you are part of these overcomers. I said, I declare that you are part of these overcomers, and you will not be subdued and subjected to the ridicules in this world, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we started on the day number 3. I was sharing with you. I told you that my subject, I was hoping to have completed yesterday, but I'm not even halfway through. The rise of the overcomers. The rise of the world overcomers. The world overcomers. He said that there are people who overcome this world. These are the ones that I have coined that term for. They are world overcomers. There is a world that God has created, and in this world he says that there are people that he has put in there for them to be victorious over, for them to overcome. Now these overcomers, if they are going to walk in the prosperity of the manifestation of this word, they need certain equipment. And so in the day number 1, I began to share with you why we are not just standing here praying and doing certain things just to overcome, but we are engaging in the word. And from the book of Job chapter 22 verse 22 to the verse number 30, the Holy Ghost gave us nuggets of light that if we lay up the word of God in our hearts, if we get up acquainted to God. Many people don't understand the art of waiting on the Lord. Today, as I was just worshiping and praying, the Lord told me that, son, if you will learn how to wait upon me regularly, I will take you into certain realms and certain levels that you have never even thought possible. And the manifestation of your life will be a blessing to the world that you are in. So there are realms that men and women that have been created by God and born of God are supposed to attain. And those realms are attainable only by fellowship with God. Only by coming to a place of understanding the word of God and laying God's word in their hearts. In fact, I was reading something today and I started crafting a message. Who is man? Who is man? Who is man? Are you sure that you are a man? Are you sure that in the realm of the spirit you qualify to be described as man according to the dictates and the declarations of God? The things that I saw in the scriptures, they blew my mind. They blew my mind. But I will not share that today. Amen and amen. It's a message for another day. It just kept me wondering, but God, are we really getting it? Are we really getting it as the children of God? Or we have become religious fanatics who just come to church just to mark the register or just to appease our conscience that we too, we are Christians who come to a religious gathering. We too, we are Christians who come to a place called church. But what we are supposed to manifest as the children of God, as the world overcomers, we are not manifesting. So the struggles of the world have become our struggles. When there was coronavirus, you saw Christians running helter-skelter. You see Christians, you go to the hospital, and the majority of the names that you see over there are Christian names. Are Christian names. We are not even able to conquer sicknesses. We are not able to conquer the financial situations in this world. We sit in airplanes, and when there's a problem with the plane, we are scared like the rest of them. We are all crying, hey, me mommy, hey, me mommy, hey, me papa, me papa. We are weak like the rest of the world. But this ought not be the case. This is not supposed to be the story. This is not supposed to be a story. It is sad enough that this generation of Christians, the majority of them that come to church, are coming because they are afraid of something. They are coming because they have had a certain dream. They are coming because they have seen a certain trend in their life. And they are coming for deliverance. But you see, God, when we talk about the overcomers, we are talking about people who God sends out as deliverers to go and deliver others. And by the time the word of God would have finished with you, you will be a conqueror and a deliverer for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus. So we began to talk about the fact that God has put in every Christian, every child of God, the capacity to overcome. And then we spoke about the three areas every Christian is supposed to overcome in. The first area we spoke about was that we are supposed to overcome ourselves and the flesh. Ourselves and the flesh. And in this context, we are talking about number one, our body or our flesh with its lust thereof. The Bible talks about these three things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, then the pride of life. Ability to bring yourself under and conquer yourself. Taming the flesh. Taming the desires. You know that this thing that you are doing is not godly and does not manifest the character and the power of Christ in you. And you see that there is a desire in you. Do you carry the capacity to tame it and say that I will not do this thing? The Bible said Jesus was tempted at all points just like us, but he was found without sin. That means that Jesus was an overcomer. He overcame the flesh. He conquered the flesh. Listen, in our kingdom, there is a standard. That standard is not Moses. That standard is not Elijah. That standard is not Samuel. That standard is not even Paul. But that standard is Jesus Christ. And so that is why we are not called Paulians. Now that we call Peterians, now that we call Bartholomians, now that we call Elijahs, but we are called what? Christians. So Christ is our standard. I pray that God will help us to rise up to the capacity of manifesting the character and the power of Christ in our lives. Praise God forevermore. So we are supposed to overcome the flesh, overcome it with the sins thereof. Number two, also overcome the flesh with its weaknesses. There is a power in us that can subdue the flesh. You know, many a times we have thought about the fasting of Jesus, 40 days, 40 nights. And you see, today I took a second look at it. And you realize that naturally speaking, a human being shouldn't be able to stay without water and food for 40 days and 40 nights. He shouldn't be able to walk. In fact, when I did my research, you see, if you are a human being cannot survive without water for more than 3, maximum 5 days, the person is gone. Without water, you are gone in a jiffy. You are gone totally. So without water, 3, maximum 5 days. Without food, you shouldn't go beyond 2 weeks. Without food and water at all. If you have food and you have water, you shouldn't go beyond 30 days, maximum 40 days, you are gone. But this man was in the wilderness. He wasn't in a covered place. He wasn't in a sheltered place. He was in the wilderness. I can imagine the dryness of the wilderness. The sun was burning him by day. The cold was wrecking him by night. And there was no water and there was no food. 40 days and 40 nights. And yet still he has strength to come back in the power of the Spirit. What had happened? He has subdued the power of the flesh. There's a dimension that we can get to in spiritology where we can bring the flesh under subjection. Where we can bring the flesh under control. Look, there are certain Hindus and certain people of other religions who have understood the power of meditation, that they can be there 5 days without water, 5 days without food. Why? Because they have entered into a certain realm of meditation. They have been able to conquer the flesh by the power of their soul. They have mastered the power of their spirits. Look, when we have a gathering of witches, nobody comes with a Land Cruiser. Nobody comes with a taxi. Nobody comes with an Uber. But they don't think it's a miracle. They don't think it's a miracle. They just go, whilst we are sleeping, they just appear at a certain place. And there is no miracle. But we, the children of God, who carry the Spirit and the power of God in us. If you don't get some people, are not in church because they are saying, Pastor, transport. Pastor, I don't have transport to get here. Look, but God is talking about a generation who are going to be a supernatural generation. I believe that a time is going to come that God is going to raise sons and daughters of God who can move by telepathy. They can decide to appear, disappear and appear. Hallelujah. Appear at places and disappear at will. The Bible tells us about Philip, when God wanted to send him to go and preach the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible said that he disappeared from Samaria. And he appeared where the Ethiopian eunuch was, just behind the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Holy Ghost began to speak to him and said, join this chariot. Join this chariot. When he entered that chariot, he got the man converted. The Bible, after he had baptized him, he disappeared again. Wow. He disappeared again. There is a spirit in us. There is a capacity in us. There is something called eternal life in us, which is talking about the life of the world that is to come. There is a supernatural realm and a supernatural dimension that we are supposed to function from. In that dimension, we can weaken the body and bring it under subjection. The Bible says a man's spirit shall sustain his infirmity. Oh, but you see many Christians, and what happens? We get a little infection and then we are down and we can do nothing. We are weeping, we are crying. Some of us are even afraid that we are going to die. That we are going to die. We have not arisen in the capacity of the identity that we have been called to. What has been put in us is not manifesting in the world. But I pray that out of this place, God is going to raise world overcomers who are going to subdue their flesh, bring it under subjection, and demand that the flesh will listen to what they are saying. What your spirit man is saying. Nothing can subdue. Glory to the name of the Lord. I said glory to the name of the Lord. Many of us, we are subjected to the whims of the flesh. Even when we are supposed to be disciplined to do certain things, we say, oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. We are creatures that are supposed to function beyond feelings. We are supposed to function beyond feelings. We are supposed to function by eternal life that is at work in us. Praise God forevermore. This matter, we can never finish talking about it because the depth of it comes by revelation. There are things that we can be taught, but there are things that you must catch. If you don't catch it, if they are not caught, it will sound and seem very strange to you. I pray that God will open somebody's understanding today. I pray that God will cause you to catch the insights of the Spirit, that the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be imparted into your spirit tonight. Receive it, I pray you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, number two, we are to overcome the world and its systems and its institutions. We read from the book of Luke chapter number 4, you read from the verse number 5 to the verse number 7, where Satan was offering Jesus the world, the habitable world, and the systems thereof. Glory to Jesus Christ. God is trying to let us understand that Satan is in charge of the world and its systems. Listen, anything that you see is trending on social media, you see a lot of things over there. Don't be so quick to be moved and controlled by them. Many of them are governed by a systematic order in the realm of the spirits, and they have an agenda to affect our morality, agenda to affect our faith, agenda to affect our mentality, agenda even if possible to affect our eternity. So if you don't rise up in the power of the spirits as an overcomer, you'll be driven by the devil in a direction that you don't want to go to. And at the end of the day, you lose every benefit that God has made available for you. But God is raising an overcomer over here. I said, God is raising an overcomer over here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says that, now the heir, as long as he is a child, he differed nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But until he is matured, he is kept under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. That word elements is talking about the rudiments or the principles or the serial operation of the world. How the world operates. The elements of the world. They are principles that govern this world. And the Bible says once you remain a child, as long as you are not mature, you are in bondage. You become a slave to the system. So, there is Hamatan. Because there is Hamatan, my mouth has to be patched. I have to get sores on my mouth. What are you? You are subjected to the heat of the sun. You cannot even control your body. Oh, because I chew granite and so I'll get pimples. No. Can't you control the system? There is a power in you that can actually affect the operations of the natural world. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? How can a snake latch on to the hand of Paul? And the Bible said that it bit him. And the people who were in that country, Malta, they knew that that was a poisonous snake. Yet the man did not even panic. Let me get a non-poisonous snake and throw it over here. You see those who are children of God and those who are child of God. And the Bible said, he just shook the snake into the fire. Now the people said, this man must be a very wicked man. Because even when he escaped the depth of the sea, death is still coming after him. They stood there waiting for him to swell up. They stood there waiting for him to enter into some tremors and begin to vibrate. They stood there waiting for him to become paralyzed. They stood there waiting for him to die. After 15 minutes, nothing was happening. He said, I give it time. I know this poison. It is a very serious one. It will still catch his heart right now. They stood there 30 minutes, 1 hour. The man was now even they had finished cooking and was serving the other prisoners and the prison wardens that were there. They all of a sudden they changed their mind. They said, this cannot be a man. This must be a god. And they were not wrong. Oh, ye are gods. Look, I saw something. You see, it is a very foolish thing to worship an idol. It is a very foolish thing to worship an idol. An idol is talking about a physical representation of a spirit being. But I studied something. When the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. One of the translations of the word image is idol. So, if you are looking for an idol, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You are an idol. God used you as a representation of him. You are not getting me over here. You are not getting me over here. So, if you are an idol of God, and an idol for God, why should you bow down and go and worship a stone, a tree, water body, which are lower bodies than us? And you know, in a certain extent, those all of God's creations, they pay homage to us. Why? Because we have idols that they are supposed to worship. Oh, you are not understanding me. That's why they are supposed to meet our needs. All things were made. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, Psalm chapter number 8, the verse number 4. He told us that God placed, you read from verse 4 to the verse number 6, everything that God created, is that what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him, verse number 5. Let's go on. For thou hast made him a little lower than angels. Now, that word translated angels over there is from the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim is a word that is used for God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God, the word used was Elohim. So when you understand it from there, you realize that God did not mean angels as in the created beings, but Elohim. Oh my goodness. So God made man a little lower than himself. So after the realm of God, there's us. He made man a little lower than angels, and he crowned this man. So for you to be the man that God created, you need to understand that you are just a little lower than God. You see, that is how he made Lucifer. And because of the glory and the honor that Lucifer was crowned with, it entered into his head. And he thought, if I'm so close to God, then I can overtake him. And that's where his failure began. Because anything that is higher than you, you are supposed to worship that thing. Anyway, that's crowned him with glory and honor. Look at the verse number 6. This was very beautiful as I was reading it. Verse number 6. It says, and thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is the man. God is not talking about himself. He's talking about man. The man that God created. So he created us to take over. If I understand one thing over here, God is not just looking for children, he's looking for sons. And the sons are the mature children who have come into a capacity, a dimension of knowledge and revelation where they can conquer this world and execute the mind and the will of God on this earth. When God created this earth, he had a vision and a mind and a purpose for it. The Bible says everything was created by him for his purpose and for his glory. So this entire earth has a reason for which God created this world. But you see, God, when he created the world, he also created a demigod. A demigod is talking about somebody who is a little lower than God. And he placed that demigod as a general controller in that world to, one, cause his will to be done in this world. Number 2, bring the entire world under subjection to the plans and the purpose of God. And then number 3, to traffic the worship of the creatures of God in this world to him. And so the first demigod that God put in charge of this earth realm was Lucifer. So Lucifer was given the authority to subdue the world. He was the first world overcomer. And so he was sent as a general to make sure that all of God's creatures in this earth realm will honor and bring glory to God and fulfill what God has called them to. Let me show you that scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter number 14. Let us read a little about Lucifer. He was the first world overcomer. He was the one that was given the authority to cause this world to be subjected to the plans and the purposes of God. People of God, understand me. You are not in this world by accident. God did not just release you into Ghana or into your sphere of contact or your world just by accident. He raised you up to become a conqueror. Glory to Jesus Christ. Let's start from the verse number 8. He said, indeed the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon say, since you were cut down, no woodsman came. Let's start from verse 6. Let me see something. Verse number 6. It's a huge track. Let's start from verse number 5. I want you to understand. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. Let's go on. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and no one hinders. Let's continue. He said the whole world is at rest and quiet, and they break forth into singing. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, go back to verse number 4. I want to point out something to you quickly. verse number 4. He said that you will take up this proverb. Now, a proverb is talking about, it's a revelation. A short story with a spiritual meaning. So, he says that take up this story with a spiritual meaning about the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon is one of the prophetic names for Satan. One of the prophetic biblical names was Satan. So the king of Babylon was not talking about the physical king of Babylon. When we read that, now you understand it. He was talking about Lucifer. So he said, tell this story about Lucifer. And so, and say how the oppressor has seized. The golden city has seized. Let's continue now. So we understand that now the one that we are talking about is the king of Babylon. Let's go on. He said, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. We'll come back to this along the line. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted. So you see over there, he was the one who was the ruler of the nations. And what did he do? He used his strength and his force and his authority to subject the nations to a certain mandate and a certain purpose. So the story that they were talking about, they have seen an end to him. And they are wondering, is this the same person who was responsible for this? Who had authority over the nations, subjecting them to the mind and the purpose of God? Let's continue. He said that the whole earth is at rest and quiet. Why? Because they had been taken away. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were cast down, no good man has come up against us. When Satan was defeated and cast into the world, he's saying that because of that, everybody obeyed him. Because when he came as a king and as a lord. And he came to take charge and bring everything under the subjection to the mind and the will of God. So when he came, you see, everything has a capacity to be rebellious. And so God puts people in charge. Tonight, I want somebody to understand that you are one of those God is putting in charge. And to conform everything to the mind and the purpose of God. He said that hell from beneath is excited about you. Because, you see, hell was the place where he was casting those who did not conform to the will of God. If they decide to walk in sin instead of you, I'm punishing you, bind them and cast them into hell. Now, the one who was casting others into hell is also being cast into hell. So they are saying that hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. Look at that. So you see, before men, human beings came, there were chief people in this earth. They were authorities, lords, beings. They were not spiritual beings then. They were physical beings like us. Are you understanding me? That is where we find demons from. Have you realized that sometimes when a demon is being cast out of somebody, the person begins to behave like a snake? It's because the spirit is a snake-like spirit. This was talking about pre-Adamic existence. When sin entered the earth, God brought judgment in the earth, covered the entire earth with flood, and killed all of those beings there. So they became disembodied spirits. Their bodies died, but the spirits were still in the earth. That is why when Adam came, God said, I subdued the earth. Why? Because there are forces that will oppose you. There are powers that are in the earth that will oppose you. So he's talking about them. He said that the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from the thrones all the kings of the nations. He said they shall speak and say to you, have you become as weak as we are? Have you become like us? You are also being cast to hell like us. Let's go on quickly. He said, your pomp is brought down to shale, and the sound of your string instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Please, all those who won't go to hell, this is what you are going to meet. Maggots spread all over you. So, if you want to go to hell today, change your mind. I said what? Okay, so I have some of you over here. So today, change your mind. Glory to Jesus Christ. So even Satan was having maggots. Jesus spoke about maggots in hell. One of these days, I'm going to talk about hell. I'm going to enter hell. I've chartered a certain plane. It goes to hell. It has not arrived yet. But when it comes, we'll all enter. We'll go to hell. Amen and amen. But this way we'll come back. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we'll see what happens in hell. Hell is not a place you want to go to. Hell is not a place. If somebody tells you that in hell, oh, we'll be dancing. Screensaver. No, there you know. Glory to Jesus Christ. So how you are falling from heaven was, oh, Who? So it means that who was the king of Babylon? Lucifer. He was the one who was in charge, the first overcomer in this world, to subdue this world and bring it under the subjection of the will of God. That is why Jesus taught them that prayer. He said that when you pray after this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So it means that the overcomers are supposed to exact the will of heaven on earth. How much of heaven have you brought to the earth? That is what would describe how much authority and victory that you are working in on this earth. How much of heaven's purpose and mind have you brought to your world? Or you are just living an ordinary life as an ordinary human being. But you are not ordinary. You are an overcomer. He that is born of God. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that is born. Oh, he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That is the one that is born of God. So, Lucifer was the first world overcomer. He failed. When he failed, God needed to raise another demigod to come and take charge of the earth realm. So in Genesis chapter number 1, you read from the verse 26 to 28, he now says that let us create man in our image and after our likeness, that he may have what? He may have what? Dominion over all this world that we have created. So Adam was the second overcomer. Was the second one who was a world overcomer to subdue the world and bring it under the pattern of the will of God. He was the one who was supposed to bring that prayer to pass. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look, there is a pattern of everything that is supposed to be done on earth in heaven. That is why when God was speaking to Moses about creating a tent, creating a place for him, he said that whatever you are doing it, I have shown you a pattern of things in heaven. Come and do the same thing on earth. So the world overcomers are those who can buy into the mind of heaven. Buy into the purpose of God concerning the place that they are in and bring it to pass on this earth. You are not just in this world for nothing. You are here as a king and as a priest and as a prophet to your generation to see what is happening in heaven and to bring it to pass on this earth. Jesus said that I do the things that I do because I see my Father doing it. Jesus was an overcomer. So that's why we pray. When we pray, we see into the realm of the spirits. We see what God wants us to do. At that place of maturity, you don't just come to God and say that, God, I want this, God, I want that, God, I want this. No, you say that, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your purpose for my family? What is your purpose for this job that I'm in? What is your mind concerning this thing that I'm in? Show me how you want it done. And that is where our victory starts. That's where our victory starts. So, you see patterns of things in heaven being brought to bear on the earth. You are at that workplace. Listen, you did not go to that workplace by chance. It was just like Philip. When Philip was to join that chariot, it wasn't because Philip was tired of walking. Because this is a man who was appearing and disappearing. So it wasn't about transportation. You are not getting me here. You are, listen, the business that you are in, the place where you are, there's a reason why God sent you there. There's a reason why God sent you there. The bank that you are working in, the company that you are in, you are not just there as a worker. Do you think that if you don't work, God cannot take care of you? Come on, talk to me. Do you think God cannot take care of you? He could multiply bread and fishes. So you are not in that company for just something to eat. Oh, I wish somebody would understand. You are not just there because you need to make ends meet. You are not just there because you need something for your pockets. He could command, he could pick money out of the mouth of a fish. Look, some of us, there's gold under a certain stone somewhere. If God open your eyes, you go and see it. I said, you go and see it. Amen. Oh, you see the way you like gold. Hallelujah. I said, you go and see it. Amen. But you need to understand why you are where you are. The world overcomers. The world overcomers. Adam also came and he failed God. Isn't it serious that after God had created everything, he did not name them, but he said that he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Meaning Adam was the controller general of this earth. He was the commander in charge of this earth. And so for him to fall, when God appeared in the garden and he said, Adam, where art thou? It didn't mean that God did not know where Adam was. It's because in the grand cities of the demigods, of those God had put in charge of his wells, Adam, they had gathered and Adam was not in his chair. So Adam, where are you? Where are you? Why are you not where you are supposed to be? Because Adam had submitted his authority and given it to Satan. He said, another one has taken your place. Another one is sitting in your throne. That is why when Satan told Jesus, all these things have been given to me, Jesus did not say that you are a liar. Because Adam had handed over every authority that God had given him over this world unto Satan. May you not lose the authority that God has given you. I said, may you not lose the place that God has given you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what most of the time we do. We keep handing over the power that God has given us to Satan. Satan brings a temptation and we hand it over to him. Satan comes to persecute our minds and tells us that we are evil and we are sinners, and which we confirm it with our mouths. What have we done? We have handed over the victory of the blood of Jesus over to Satan. Today, I see God raising up his army. I see God raising up his army. I see God opening our vision. I see God raising an army of overcomers even in these end times. Oh, Lucifer, son of the mountain, how are you cut down to the ground? You will not be cut down. I say you will not be cut down. I say you will not be cut down. Why? Because you are going to understand who you are. Adam failed over the time, and across various dispensations, God kept trying to raise other people until Jesus Christ came. Jesus became a pattern of how God wants the final end time generation of overcomers to be. He lived a life of victory. He conquered everything. He conquered everything. My God, my God. This was a man who conquered the natural way of human beings being born. They said that a man must meet a woman before a child can come. He said, minus me. I operate by a different set of laws. Look at this man. He had finished preaching and he went onto the mountain, told his disciples that they should go. He went praying and praying and praying. By the time he had finished praying, somewhere in the third watch of the night, he came back and all the boats had left the seashore. He said, this thing is normal to me. And he began to walk on the water. What did he do? He subdued the power of water. He brought it and that was an overcomer over there. He was overcoming the world. The Bible tells us that if you look at it, he wasn't just walking. These people took the lead several hours ahead. He was even nearly overtaking them. The man was not walking. He was literally gliding on the water. The man was not an ordinary man. Look, when they saw him, they said, is he a ghost? And they were right. He was a ghost. He was not operating as a natural human being. There was a power in him. Oh, no wonder he says, Hadabashatataya. Man, he that is born of God overcometh the world, because greater is he that is in me. There's something in us. We carry some power that can bring the world into subjection. When we are going running after small things, God feels very sad, because we are world conquerors. Power to bring wealth and nations under subjection are given unto us. Yet you see many of us looking for minor things. God, can I get some 500 Ghana cedis? What is 500 Ghana cedis? What is 500 Ghana cedis? We are living below our calling. But today, God is calling us to rise up. I said, God is calling us to rise up. Even that someone, what I'm saying, they don't even understand, and they don't even care to understand what that all is this man saying. Won't you just hurry up and let us start praying? But this is what we are called to. Look, I told you that in this conference, one of the main areas that the Lord is using me, yesterday I tried to prophesy. Amen and amen. But that the movement was not moving. Glory to Jesus Christ. I was seeing the things, but the inspiration was not coming. Glory to the name of the Lord. But when the teaching was what God, because God is laying something in your spirit right now. By the time God will be done with the word in your heart, some of you will wake up and will be dreamers of dreams. Listen, we are supposed to rise up to a certain place. It is not a superstar generation. When we come to church and it's only one man of God and everybody has formed a queue and they are coming to the man of God. No. A time is going to come when somebody who is sick, irrespective of their sickness, they come and say, what is your problem? I have cancer. So go and sit among them. These are the group of healers. The atmosphere around them alone, by the time we finish the service, it would have patched you and you'll be healed. We are not talking about people coming to the pastor. We are talking about a time when we come and the second column, they say, what is your problem? Oh, these are the seers. They'll just look into your face and they'll start reading your life to you. They see by the eyes of the Spirit. We are talking about that generation. We are not the beggarly generation where we always come to God, give me this, give me. There was no time I saw in the Bible where the creatures were brought to Adam and Adam went back to God to ask God, God, what shall I call this creature? Somewhere, somehow, the supernatural intelligence that he needed to conquer the world was inside him. Listen, everything you need is inside you. The power is inside you. The glory is inside you. The Bible says that we have this glory, this power in an earthen vessel. I've always wondered why he said earthen vessel. As the Holy Ghost said, earthen vessels are talking about vessels that were created from the dust of the ground. And he said, look at the form of the natural man. The Bible said God picked the dust of the ground and he formed the man. So when he says that earthen vessels, he's talking about our physical nature. But what is the glory? It's not in our physical nature. There is a breath in us. There is a spirit in us. There is an anointing in us. There is a power in us. And that is the power that causes us to be world conquerors. You see, until we wake up and begin to cultivate the life that is in us, we will remain beggars in this world. Oh, Solomon said, I have seen an arrow under the sun. I have seen a problem amongst men where princes are walking and the servants and the slaves are riding on the horsebacks. He said that is an error. He's talking about those who are supposed to be manifesting the glory and yet they are preaching like beggars. They are operating like people carry nothing in them. But I see God reversing that error. I see God correcting that error. I see God raising an end time generation. Oh, who will speak to mountains and the mountains shall move? Who will speak to political systems and they shall be subdued? Jesus overcame the religious and the political dynasties in his time. Politicians could not understand him. Kings were looking for him. A priest, religious leaders could not comprehend him. This was an overcomer in full display. Wherever he went, the man produced a stare because he was a carrier of the glory and the grace. He was a carrier of the power. He operated as the Son of God. No wonder God, when he descended upon the mountain, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He saw in Jesus what Lucifer could not do. He saw in Jesus what Adam failed at. No wonder the Bible said, and the first Adam became a living soul, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Jesus was a consummation of the overcomer. He brought everything under subjection. Diseases could not prevail in the bodies of any people anymore. When he appeared, the lame began to walk. Oh, when John the Baptist said, are you the one, or we should expect another? Jesus told the disciples of John the Baptist that go back and tell him, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised again, and the gospel is preached to the poor. That means just like healing was the miracle for the sick, just like deliverance was the miracle for the oppressed, just like resurrection was the miracle for those who were dead, for those who were poor, the miracle of the good news is that the poor became rich under the ministry of Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you are hearing me. Paul said, being poor, yet making many rich. I see people over here, a capacity is being set in you to turn situations around, to lift up the downtrodden when men are cast down. Because men are being cast down every day. Men are being destroyed every day. They are looking for a healer. They are looking for a conqueror. They are looking for somebody who give them the helping hand and say, I'm pulling you out of your debt. I'm pulling
you out of your sickness. I'm pulling you out of your poverty. I'm pulling you out of your rejection. And I'm bringing you into a place where you too, you will be celebrated. I pray that that anointing rests upon somebody over here. I see 7 people receiving that grace now. If you are one of them, receive it now. If you are one of them, receive it now. He overcame gravity. Look, the Bible tells us, you know, in that parable, or not parable, in that story, where Jesus needed to feed the 5,000. When you study the story, Jesus had been preaching to them for 3 days. For 3 days, what words was he speaking? They never felt hunger. They never felt anything. Until Jesus said, let them go. Because there was something in the words of Jesus. There was something. When you hear Jesus, your life will never be the same again. When you hear Jesus, even hunger will disappear. When you hear Jesus, when you hear his voice, what was it telling them? No wonder Jesus said that the words I speak to you, they are spirits and their life. They are not normal words. Meaning when Jesus begins to speak, life flows. Life flows. 3 days sitting listening to one man, and they were not even getting hungry. You see, when we are in church and people, the word is coming, people start getting hungry. You should know that we are not preaching the fullness of the glory. We are not preaching the fullness of the power. The Bible said that there were certain men who were sent to go and arrest Jesus. When they got there, he was preaching. So they decided to stay among the crowd to listen to him. By the time they had finished, they walked back. And they went back to those who had sent them. And they asked, where are we sent you to go and arrest this man? Where is he? They said, never a man spoke like that man. Nobody ever spoke like Jesus. The man was a world overcomer. He was a conqueror. Look, he was not afraid of the systems. Look, some people think that Jesus was not escaping when they were trying to kill him. His time was not yet come. Look, they came and they said, let us stone him. Chop away. They were coming with stones. They were coming with clubs. Because his time was all of a sudden, boom, something happened. They became stupefied. The Bible says Jesus passed through them and went away. They became blinded. Look, Elisha, the Bible said that when Abdotan, the Assyrian king, and his army had surrounded the village, and they said, we are come to catch the prophets. We are come to arrest the one who reveals my secrets that I talk about in my bedroom. The Bible said, the servant of Elisha said, Master, we are done. We are finished. He was talking like the ordinary Christians that we see today. They see a little trouble. We are finished. I'm dead. No, I'm done. The master, we are finished. The master said, boy, be quiet. Boy, you don't know what is happening. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Take note of this. The strength of every authority is not in the physical. Elisha did not say, they that be with us are more than them. He said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. There is an invisible enemy that is behind every challenge that we are seeing. And so you need to enter into your invisible dimension. Every child of God is a hybrid creature. We have a visible component and we have an invisible component. We have mastered the visible, but the true glory is in our invisible component. It shall arise in the invisible power. Eternity at work in us. We are going to conquer this world. I said we are going to conquer this world. Listen to me. What we need is no money. Brothers and sisters. At that dimension we will command money and the money will follow us. We don't say that God give me 2,000 Ghana cedis. You say 2,000 come. Oh, Balahasa Hashnanaya. Mesoko patatataya. Jesus did not say that Lord multiply the bread for them. He said that go and share it. And then I said, Bomidam, my God, Wula, Jesus, as Munoga, Fast, Televico, Pariatanda, Nini, Susi, Zahapele, Letuni, Vata, Televicum, Patatia, Punga, Televili, Patuarati, Sobrahandi, Tanya, Navika, Zekutele, Hipalataya, Sidele, Ketosia, for the endless expectation of the creation is for the manifestation of the sons of God. And see the spirit of the living God. In this place, I am raising my sons and my daughters. For all of my creation have been waiting for their manifestation. The nations are calling to you, see the Lord. The nations are crying for your manifestation. Because their deliverance is in your hands. Will you arise? and will you shine? Oh, yes. He saw into the Spirit. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw. Oh, the ones who have surrounded them have been surrounded. Oh, you don't understand it. You don't understand it. The trouble that you think is troubling you, you are a trouble to the trouble. It is you who have not seen it. You are a trouble to the trouble. From today, you begin to confess, I'm a terror to the works of the devil. Wherever I go, satanic plots are destroyed. Wherever I go, demonic gatherings are scattered. Satan is worried because of me. Oh, that this show palabaya. When we begin to identify who we are, we step into a place and tools, idols, occults, their powers are nullified. We depotentiate their effects. Jesus will appear in a place and the demons in that gentleman in the cemetery now begin to scream, hey, son of God, what have you to do with us? His presence alone stirred something in the atmosphere. Oh, Rasikum Balakatash. And do you know what? All of that he did because he was doing it as a pattern to show us how our lives should be. Who we are supposed to be. Don't you realize that we have been going for the small things? When you understand, if you really understand what I'm saying, you realize that nothing in this world needs your attention so much because you are greater than them. You are higher than all things. He that is from above is above all. Jesus told them, I am from above. He knew who he was. Can you understand that you and I, we are from above? Do you know that we are from above? Do you appreciate that we are from above? Therefore, he said, there's a problem under the sun, but we are from above the sun. We are from above the sun. Oh, I wish this revelation, I could push it into somebody's spirit like that. We are talking about the overcomers, the world overcomers. Look, economies, Jesus defied economies so. The man was not doing anything that you would say was a regular work, but he needed an accountant. And the accountant was stealing, but still the work was going on. One man of God said, usually he pays his workers somewhere around 24th, 25th of every month. One particular month, he found out that there was no cash. He went to his room. My God, that your room. It is not for sleeping. No. It is for transactions. It is for you to go and discuss matters. Oh, Job said, when the secret of the Lord was upon my tent, there were times Job would have meetings with God. That was what made him a rich man. It wasn't because he was a hard worker. He was the one that controlled things from the realms of the spirits. Oh, Bakaro Shed Televria. By the time he comes out of the room, he knows where to go and dig. There'll be gold over there. He knows where to go and dig. There'll be oil flowing over there. He knows where to put his investments. How many times have we lost money? We've not gone to that room. He went to his room. He said, Lord, you know how we have been doing it. We need to pay these people before the end of this month. And the day is now. And there's no fiscal money that I see. But I received that money from you today. All of a sudden, he felt an inspiration in his spirit. He went into the inner room and took a suit of his. And he shook it like this. The suit that he took was light at the beginning. But when he shook it, it became heavy. Inside the pocket, money had appeared. Glory to Jesus Christ. I wish we understand who we are. We are that supernatural generation. Oh yes, balakantoske reveke supradaya. Money appeared. Can I quote the story? My God, he had, I think, was it $1 or so, and for himself and his family, and was looking at how he was going to feed himself, his wife, and their child. And I think something happened. God, the Lord spoke to him to keep the money as a seed or so. Oh, the wife was angry. Said, you are not a responsible man of God. Your family is here. You are giving money away.
He said, oh, the Lord has taken care of it. We are going to eat. We are going to eat. Whilst they were driving, and he said, very soon we get to the restaurant, we are going to eat. As the wife was sitting there wondering whether this man has someone somewhere that she doesn't know about. As we were driving, all of a sudden, a paper flew and hit their windscreen and entered the wiper. It was raining in the night. So while the wiper was, there's something in the wiper. He packed and went to remove the thing. $10. $10. Listen to me. We are not ordinary people. We come from a kingdom that is a controller kingdom. Nothing is above us. Like he said, he has made him a little lower than Elohim. All things are under his control. That is why he's telling us. And these were people who were born of God. Lucifer was born there. And then Adam carried the very nature. He was born of God. Adam was called the son of God. Jesus could not have been born by Joseph, because Joseph did not carry the necessary seed. So Jesus was the first to be born of God. The first person to be born again was Jesus. To be born again was Jesus. So he carried the hybrid nature. He was 100% God, 100% man. And then he transferred that nature to us. Whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh. But whatsoever is born of the spirit is spirit. We're born after the nature of the first Adam. But we're born again after the divine constitution of Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And so just like the first Adam, he that is born of the flesh was flesh. They that are born of the spirit, we also carry the nature of the spirit. As the wind blows where it listed, no one knows from whence they come at or whither he goeth. So is he that is born of the spirit of God. I had greatly desired not to get too deep in this conference, because the way you are looking at me, some are wondering that what is this man still talking about. I've been fighting not to go too deep from day number one. But I say, after the major, so for you, I'm binding, baby. Oh, dear Lord. Lashu Prahadayam. You see, this is where the media becomes very important too. Because it's the media now who now continue the message. Who now continue the message. The apostolic message to the church. When the service is over. Glory to Jesus Christ. Lift up your right hand. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Parting after Christ. Say, the grace to conquer the world has been given to me. Say, I carry the capacity for miracles. Listen. Let me conclude over here. There is a divine tool. And that's now, I'm now introducing faith convention. That was given to the overcomers for them to conquer their world. And that is what 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even what? Our faith. For the overcomer, the world overcomers, to walk in where God has called them to operate from, they need to understand the power of faith. They need to understand the operations of faith. Look, Jesus was asleep and the winds were blowing. And they came to tell him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can't you see that we are going to die? Jesus looked at them, he got up and said, look at them. He rebuked them. So you of little faith. And he went. And he commanded a storm, and the storm became silent, and he went back to go and sleep. Whether there was storm or no storm, he was so moved. They were all the same to him. They were all the same to him. Why did he rebuke them that, oh, you of little faith? What he was telling them was that, it is not because I am here. If you had even a little bit of faith, you would have commanded the storm, and the storm would have obeyed you. So it means that the difference maker was faith. The difference maker between a natural man and a spiritual man is faith. The natural man who believes that Jesus is the Son of God now becomes born again. There's a difference amongst men. Now, among the spiritual men too, faith is what will separate the men from the boys. The extent of your faith. Look, when we have faith, you have everything. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. What are the things? That card that you are put on your prayer card. Adadosh. It is faith. That miracle marriage. You don't need miracle marriage. You need faith. That baby. You don't need baby. You need faith. The faith is the spiritual currency of exchange of every desire. The faith, you know, if you are into cryptocurrency, you know there's something called an exchange. An exchange is a platform where cryptocurrencies, which are virtual monies that cannot be seen, but they are there. It is using the exchange by which you can exchange that which is virtual with that which is physical. So you can put the physical into the exchange and it will give you spiritual or, you know, virtual currency. I don't know whether anybody understands this crypto a bit. And you can also translate the virtual currency through P2P and other means into physical currency. So there is a medium of exchange that translates the invisible with visible. When it comes to spiritual matters, faith is that exchange. Faith is that exchange. Every resource that you need is in the realm of the spirits. Every favor that you need, every promotion that you need, every elevation that you need, it is available in an unseen realm. So in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the verse number 1, the best definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things that are not seen. So there are things that are not seen, but they can become visible through faith. Faith, if you are looking for money, you are looking for a tractor or an articulator. When you go and pray to God, God, I need a tractor or an articulator. God will never give you a physical tractor or articulator. He will even not give you money. What he will give you is faith. So when you leave the presence of God, what you should leave with is faith. And it is that faith that will cause there through its own mechanisms. The how is not relevant to you when you have the faith. How it happens is not important to you when you have the faith. Faith has its own dynamics. It can cause the car or the articulator or whatever it is to appear. Or it can cause somebody to pay for it. Or it can open a certain contract door for you to get the money that you used to buy it. How it happens is none of your business. All you need is a faith for it. All you need is a faith for it. So faith is substance. It's currency. When you need healing, how do you exchange the spiritual health with the sickness that you are carrying? Your faith brings the translation. Your life has been going in a negative pattern for long. How do you change that? Your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Listen, when you have faith, you can create a miracle. The Bible says that in Hebrews 11, verse number 2, by faith, the elders obtained, what did they do? A good report. What does the word obtained mean? They took, they received a good report. Now, when you go to school, at the end of a term, what do they take, what do they give to you to take home? A report card. Terminal reports. And the terminal reports tells about how the entire term has been. Whether you were deviant or you were a good student, whether you were a poor learner or you were a good learner, all of that is in the report card. So it's saying that the report card tells the outcome of your life, tells the outcome of everything that you have done, everything that you have been, everything that you have received. The Bible is telling us that by faith, the elders, they obtained not just any report, but a good report. That means that with faith, you can obtain a good report concerning the life that you have lived on this earth. How do you want your life to be? At the end of your life, what kind of description should be given to you? Is it going to be good or bad? You can determine it to be good. And you can use your faith as a spiritual artillery by which you can obtain that good report. If you read the Amplified Version, the Bible says, by faith, the men of old obtained a divine testimony. Meaning you can take, so I don't know whether somebody is getting me. That means that you can take something right now and go home. By faith. You can just take it and go home. It is not a difficult thing. You see, oh dear. Look at when the woman came with the issue of blood for 12 years. She came behind the press, broke through the press to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus stopped. And when he stopped, he said that somebody has touched me. Everybody had been touching, but her touch was different. Her touch was a touch of faith. There was something different about her touch. Look, that is why we are all here. But somebody may have a different presence over here. You who can be here with something that the others don't have. Everybody's looking at me, but you may be looking with different eyes. Are you understanding me? Somebody is just watching me because the person wants to look at a man that is sweating and going up and down. Another person may be looking at me and say that my miracle is over there. If I can see him well enough, something will transfer into my life. Something will transfer to me. A woman went to a hospital, went to a miracle meeting with Pastor Chris Baran Shutelevriataya, and she said that looking at the crowd, it was a stadium. Said that if I can just get direct access to see him, my sickness will be healed. My God, my God. She went. The ushers were trying to give her a place. She said, no, I want to sit over here. Why? Because at that place, when the man of God enters onto the stage, she will have a direct sight of him. When she saw him, when he came on the stage, she began weeping, fell under the power. The man had not even started preaching. When she woke up, the cancer was gone. The sickness was gone. Everybody there came to watch something. She came to take something with her eyes. You see, faith, you can use your faith. You can, he said, woman, go thy way. Your faith, not me, my faith, not me, my power, but your faith made you whole. So there's no miracle that you cannot receive if you don't have faith. Faith is what will exchange your desire into your manifestation. What is your desire? What are you looking for? You want to be married next year by this time? You just need faith. It's as simple as that. You just need faith. Oh, yes. You just need faith. Faith is the conveyor belt for supernatural manifestations. You know, when you go to the airport, there is this that this machine is called a conveyor belt. So it's rolling like that, and the bags are put on it from one place, and then it transfers it to another place where people can pick it up. Oh, I wish someone would understand me. So there are a lot of things that God are available to God, and they are rolling. But the conveyor belt that will transfer it from where God is to where you are is your feet. It's your feet. It's your faith. Are you catching it? It's your faith. He said, it is the substance. So it means that faith is the spiritual material that is required for the manifestation of every desire. There is a building block. It's just like, for instance, we have a building project. We can have the blueprints. We have the building, the drawing, the designs over there. That is our hope. It shows us what we want. Baraka son televriadaya. But what to put flesh to that design? What to put manifestation to that design? There's something in your spirit right now. And God says that it can become manifested through the avenue of faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. The elders were able to get a good testimony from their lives. Are you looking for a testimony tonight? Come and talk to me. Are you looking for a testimony tonight? Do you want to see a change in your life? This is where we understand that all things are possible to him that believes. Can you believe? Come and talk to me. Can you believe? Is it, if you are not focusing, I know you don't believe. You don't believe because there's no hunger and desire for it in your heart. You are still very carnal. But if you can believe, all things are possible. Oh, all things are possible to him that believes. Look, when you believe, even a shadow can bring your desire. Even as I'm walking right now, even a shadow can bring your manifestation. If you believe, can you believe? Oh, yes. Can you believe? I don't know, but I sense an atmosphere of miracles over here. An atmosphere of miracles. An atmosphere for miraculous manifestations. Whatever you are looking for, whatever you are desiring, whatever you are expecting, Lago Shabran Deleve, can you believe how is faith released through prophecy? As you speak it forth, as you speak it forth. God believed that the world could be created. What did he do? He began to speak. If you speak it forth, it will happen to you. When Jesus was confronting the rain and the storm, what did he do? He said, peace be still. He declared a word. Can you believe? Can you release that word? Can you begin to prophesy to your situation? Can you begin to prophesy to your world? Can you begin to bring your world under subjection? All things are possible to him that believes. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. She prophesied to herself. Before the end of this year, what can you see? What do you desire to see? Baleke shendelebelebeke sopradiataya. Now begin to prophesy. Begin to speak into your life right now. Look, the word of God has come to build faith in your spirit. The Bible says, how can they be saved except they believe? In other words, salvation even comes by faith. How can they believe except they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? Tonight you have heard something. Tonight there's a preacher. How can they preach except they be sent? Tonight I have been sent to you to bring into your life the manifestation of that desire. The atmosphere is changing in this room right now. And I see angels descending into this room right now. And I see the angels carrying packages in their hands. And I ask the Lord that what are these? He said that these are the packages for my children who are ready. My children who believe. He said these are the packages that are going to take them into the realm of manifestation. I heard in the spirit somebody laughing. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what is this? He said that this is the one who just received her package. This is the one who just received her result. There's grace that can change situations. And I hear the Lord saying, I am raising the overcomers of the end time dispensation. Men and women who are ready to take over. Ready to take over the systems and institutions of the world. Tonight, no matter where you are, you can go to another level. Tonight, no matter what you have in your hands, you can possess something greater. Tonight, I don't know, but there are packages in this place. Your car is here. Your house is here. Your land is here. Mashakataya. That which will give you a testimony by June, it is right here. That which will give your family a testimony, it is right here. I don't know, but there's something happening in the realm of the spirit. But God is putting some capacity in the spirit of people over here. By the time you leave this place, you know that things are falling in place. Things have been prepared for you. Things have aligned for you. By the time you leave this place, you are going to step into that breakthrough. You are going to step into that testimony. You are going to step into that miracle. By the time you leave this place, I hear the koshata. Lebelebekata. Mastotea. Lebelebe. I don't know, but the heavens are open now. What do you want? What are you desiring for? What are you looking for? This faith convention. By faith, all things are possible. The blind man overcame his blindness. He's the Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus. He threw away his cloak of blindness. And something changed when he met Jesus. Something changed when he met Jesus.
Oh,
I am a religious.